Good morning, church. My name is Pierre. It's my absolute joy this morning to open up the Word with you, and I need you to participate in the Word this morning. Our worship doesn't stop when our singing ends, guys. That's just part of our worship. Our worship continues by how we listen and respond to the Word. Now, this morning, I am going to blend the message with our mission. I am going to go to the Word to remind us who we are as God's people, but it is for you to know that you are called to participate in that very thing. So can I get a yes? Not an amen yet. And can I get an amen? So let's participate this morning, because we're going to be reminded of who we are as followers of Jesus, how we live in light of that. And then I'm going to weave in some things that is particular to us, Seven Nation Helderberg, and for the year ahead. Have you ever noticed that people love to ask the question, so what do you do? It's that difficult moment where someone feels awkward at a conversation, and then we need to triangulate, so we bring a third party into the conversation. Let's talk about careers. Thank you, Jesus, for careers. There's something to talk about. So what do you do? And then, depending on what the other party is dedicating five or more days of their lives to, the conversation either carries on or just stops bluntly. Now, if you're a pastor, we've made peace with the fact that we call that our party trick. Can't wait for someone to ask, so what do you do? Because when you're a pastor and you tell them what you do, you get an array of responses. Someone chokes on their drink. Someone apologizes for all the profanities that they've spoken up until this point. Some would say, really? I wouldn't tell. And that's the best kind, because I'm just a normal person like you. I just do what Jesus called me to do, and that's to pastor people. But it's a great party trick when I get to answer people that I'm a pastor. If I had to ask you this morning, what do you do? What's going to be your answer? And to help us think about this, I'm going to go to a quick video to get our hearts set on this word this morning. So let's watch this.
People often say to me, they say, Jay John, you know, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, hello. And she said, well, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. And that's it, really, isn't it? isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise. But not only is it global, it's intergalactic, because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
The title of my message this morning is, We Get to Do This. We get to do this. And I stand in awe of this morning of the fact that we get to sing like we did. And then the Spirit of God moves upon us and someone speaks in a tongue and others come and encourage us. And we're dedicating babies. And none of this was planned, guys. It kind of just came together. And from here, we're going to leave these doors. And we're going to go into the world and we get to do this thing called following Jesus together. I've had to repent for the times that I was scared at a bride to tell people I'm a pastor. Because sometimes I am. You know why? Because it's awkward. The moment I say it, things just go weird and then I don't feel welcome anymore. Not always, but many times. But I love how J. John has helped me to say, you know what? Stand on that and get to recognize the fact that you are part of God's plan for mankind, and that is what you get to do with your life. Isn't that exciting? So when I ask you this morning, what do you do? Is it just a simple, well, my career is this, and have we, like I sometimes have forgotten to say, but beyond that, I get to do this. I get to follow Jesus with people from across the world on this journey to see his name, his renown, and his kingdom come until such a time that he comes back and we go to be with him. Friends, we get to do this. We get to live in the dream that God had from the very beginning. We are it, and we are inside of it. We get to know the creator of all things, the one who redeems, who saves, who forgives us, who restores us, who sanctifies us and justifies us, the one who leads us, the one who loves us. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He places the lonely in family, and he gives us this. Each other, the church. Therefore, every nation, Helderberg, is all about following Jesus together. And in that, we get everything we need for this life, friends. It's not an add-on. It's not a nice idea at the end. And it's definitely not just something we do. It's the essence of who we are as the people of Jesus. Now, let's open our Bibles together to the last chapter of Matthew. If you don't have your Bible yet, don't fret. It'll be on the screen and you can read with me. But we're going to read the last few verses of the Gospel of Matthew together to be reminded this morning that we get to do this thing that is the greatest thing that our lives could be part of in this earth. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that as we look at your words, that it would become life to us this morning, and you would bring life to it by the power of your Spirit, and it would change us this morning to look at this great commission and for something to change in us. You can do it, and you alone. So I pray, Lord, as your word goes out, come work in your church, your people, so that we get to do this for you and with you. And the people of God says, amen. I love the narrative of this story. The passage we just heard speaks about that they went where Jesus directed them. This is critically important. Before we get to the words of Jesus, we've got to look at what the people of Jesus do. And it says, they went where Jesus said they should go. Friends, this is what it is to follow Jesus. It is to go where he says, it's to follow where he leads. It's his plan, it's his purposes. And us signing up to say, that's all we want to do. We will follow him where he goes, and we will go where he sends. And he told his disciples, hey, I'm going to go meet you in Galilee, so you go and meet me there. And off they went. It's important for you to know that everything we do here is like that. Even for myself and the elders and the leaders of this church, we don't do anything, we don't make any decisions, we don't take any steps in this church unless we spend time with Jesus and say, are you directing us here? We get to do this at the commands and words and invitation of Jesus. Not some human idea, just something that I go through because we go to church as South Africans. You know, well, some of us do. It's our greatest desire and our greatest prayer to say, Jesus, direct us. Jesus, show us where to go. And so much of that has already been given to us in his word. He shows us the whole story of where he wants us to go. And then we lean in and say, great, how does that work for us in Somers West, in the Helderberg, lead us all? I love how even Paul said, well, I'm going as Jesus directs me. So follow me as I go where Jesus directs. The great Paul, who could have just run his own ministry and so many followers around the world, and we still read his letters, says, guys, it's not me that you follow, it's Jesus. We go at his direction. And I say this often, and I will say this often as I can, in this church, Jesus leads. I don't. I get to remind you that we are all following him together. Yes, there's leadership in this church. If you're new here and you haven't heard me say that before, don't get a fright. We are led by leaders in this church, but the leaders are led by Jesus. And together, we look to him and say, will you direct us? Are you here this morning just because you came? Because you say, Jesus, direct me so that I can meet you. And it's not only in community and church, but individually that we've got to live this life of saying, I'm going where Jesus said. What has Jesus said to you lately that you might not have been responding to? This morning, we get to take a moment and hear about someone in our own church who's been here since the very beginning. And for almost 19 years have faithfully been doing this, doing what Jesus asks of him and his family to do. But in this beautiful thing of the kingdom, sometimes Jesus comes and he rocks up and he says, hey, I've got someone else and somewhere else that I am directing you. So this morning we're going to take a moment to just honor and recognize, for those of you who don't know him, but most of us do, Ricky Farrar sitting there behind Mario. As some of you might know, a couple of years ago, the Farrars came to us and said, we feel like Jesus is directing us somewhere else. Now, because I know them and their love for Jesus, and I know who we are as a church, if your executive pastor comes to you and say that, I can go through one or two crises. I can go completely into an existential crisis. How the heck are we going to make this church happen? Or I could go the other way and say, hey, I don't agree with you. I think you should stay because, you know, we need you and all those kind of things. But because we are following Jesus together, I know when that happened a couple of years ago, that this is Jesus directing them. And this is Ricky's last Sunday with us. I know that he came and spoke to each one of you that he's walked a long journey through. And maybe in the past couple of years, he's taken more of a back role in just making sure that church happened. Guys, the fact that we are sitting here this morning is because this man has faithfully been stewarding the kingdom of God in ministry. There's been seasons where he preached, there's been seasons where he was behind the scenes, there's been seasons where he led the church where no one else did. And God has come and said, Ricky, Michelle, and kids, I'm directing you guys elsewhere. I told him that I've been praying that I won't cry when I say goodbye to him today in church. And then I'm looking outside and Jesus is crying, so maybe Jesus is crying to help me not cry. But I want to take a moment. I'm going to say thank you, Rick. I say this with the greatest confidence that I know that you are going because Jesus said so, for no other reason. And I know that they're not going out of community in terms of where they stay and being here, but we're excited to follow Jesus together with you guys and to continue to see how you say yes to everything that he directs you to. So can we give God and Ricky just a hand for the season of his service? Friends, we've got to go where Jesus says. Even though sometimes it hurts and it's not great, and I would just love to have us four no more or whatever it is, sometimes you just got to step out and say, Jesus, we'll do what you say. His disciples did. Is that true of your life? Then we see that when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. They went where he said, but then when they behold him and they beheld him, all that came out was worship. The purpose of us being directed by Jesus is for worship to increase. It's for more of his glory, more of his name. Not to build the greatest church and the fastest growing church and the best church and the funkiest church and the coolest this and the coolest that, or whatever else pursuit you have in your own life. Our purpose on this earth is for worship to increase. And we see as his disciples were responsible to the things that Jesus directed them in, when they saw him, they just worshiped. Like, Jesus, this is the essence of it all. Your mission of where you send us is that we can find you again and worship you more. The purpose of being directed is for worship to increase. And if you think about it, where it's placed in the scripture, it's so beautiful. Where Jesus directed them, and then when they saw him, they worshiped him, and from there he gave them more directions. The end of mission is worship, but worship is also the start of mission. Hey, disciples, meet me there. Puts them on a mission. They go there. What do they find? They find Jesus. What happens? Worship. And he says, now that this has happened, I'm sending you on another mission, which is the Great Commission, so that what can happen? More worship can come. That more worship can take place. And that's the purpose of church, friends, is for the worship of Christ to increase. Not the glory of man, not a great influence. And yes, we get to do all these amazing things in this earth, but if it's just done for being done for done's cause, by touching people's lives and changing our community, we're missing the point. The purpose is the worship of Christ. And as we follow Jesus together, it is simply so that he receives more worship. Jesus directs them to worship, and then he sends them from worship, and he gives them a mission for more worship. It's the essence of what we do. And then still in the story of what we're reading, then Jesus said, now therefore go. And then the commission of Jesus became their mission. And this is significant. Jesus is taking everything that he has showed them in his earthly ministry. He says, I'm gone from this earth, out of here, physically. I'm giving it into your hands. Imagine what it must feel like if you inherit the greatest business on earth, whatever that might be in your mind this morning, and that person comes and says, hey, I'm giving you my business. Take it on. It pales in comparison to this idea that Jesus said, everything that I've modeled, now you take it further. Do you realize that we get to do this? We get to take that which Jesus has done and take it into the world. Friends, is it still a lofty and valued thing in our hearts that we get to take the ministry of Jesus forward into the nations? And we get to do this so that more worship can come due his name. Now let's get into the words of Jesus. The first thing he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. To who? All authority has been given to? No man can say that. No woman can say that. The enemy can't say it. No political party can say it. No nation can claim that. All authority is given to Jesus. All authority. Where? In? Do you live like you believe that? Do you live like you believe that it's all in his hands. And here we see that the power behind our mission comes from Jesus. I'm not here to give you guys a grand new vision for our church, because the vision in my eyes is grand enough. Go into all the world and make disciples. I'm not here to say, here's the next amazing future for us as Every Nation Helderberg, because that's the power of man trying to make something perhaps a little bit more powerful out of our own strength, where the power behind our mission is from Jesus alone. And when he speaks by his authority and we live in response to that, things happen in our lives. If I then go to Eugene and say, Eugene, I want you to be on mission for Jesus. If Eugene just hears Pierre's request, Eugene is never going to live in power, because that's just Pierre asking him. But if he sees it, that it's Jesus with all authority coming, say, hey, I want you to go on mission with me, the power dynamic changes, right? Some of us believe this is me being so powerful and responding to the gospel. No, guys, it's Jesus who's called you. And with all of that power, he says, go now and tell the world. When we share about Jesus, it's not just words, but we've got all the power of Jesus and all his authority backing it up. Did you know that man was created to hear about Jesus? And sometimes, because yes, we are the conduit by which the gospel is shared, we block that power by saying, I'm not going to go. I don't want to say. When they ask me what I do, I'm like, well, I'm a shepherd. Oh, really? You've got sheep? Nah, you know what? People. Like, I'm the people business. That's been one of my answers, because I'm so intimidated by saying that I am someone that gets to walk with the community and see them follow Jesus. And then I block the power, because maybe when someone asks me, what do you do? And I get to say, I'm a pastor. There's an opportunity to lead them to Christ. Are you letting the power run through your life? Or are you saying, no, not today. I'm scared. I'm intimidated. I'm going to go. I saw one of our congregants yesterday post on their status in Cape Town sharing the gospel. My heart just warmed up, saying, man, that's what we are all called to do. We get to do this. We get to tell the world that the greatest thing ever has happened. But we hold it to ourselves, and the power ends with us. Friends, let's not get into the way of letting the power of Jesus go to others as well. Second thing we say here is, all authority on earth and heaven has been given me. Therefore, go into all the world and make what? Make disciples. Here it is, guys. The purpose of our mission is making disciples of Jesus. Now, we speak about that all the time, making disciples. We wonder about that all the time. I hope this morning I get to make it a little bit easier for you. But the word disciple in the New Testament means learner. Someone that's learning. It's not a 10-point box that you've got to tick and now you are a disciple. No. It's people who learn about Jesus. It's people who learn about his ways. Therefore, if we start sharing to Jesus with a young child that might not have accepted Jesus yet, we're discipling. That is discipleship, because we're teaching learners about Jesus. Or you might be speaking to your spouse or someone at work or someone in your family, and you're talking to them and they are learning about Jesus. That it is what it is to make disciples. We are backed by his power, but our job is simple. Teach others about me. We don't have to complicate it. Yes, we might have organizations and systems and ideas of how to do it best, but it's that simple. Discipleship takes place when we teach about Jesus and others get to learn. For some, they learn for 20 years before they make a decision to say, I too want to follow him. That's our purpose, friends. It's to make disciples. It's to make learners in this earth that hear about the name of Jesus Christ. And then they become someone who followed Jesus by learning, trusting, and obeying his word. What is a disciple? Someone who follows Jesus by learning, obeying, and trusting his word. You see, it's a simple Simple answer. We complicate it sometimes. Are we doing well in discipleship? Well, as long as we're here on Sundays and we open the Bible and we preach, we are being discipled. As long as we go to our homes and around the table, we pray for our food and we hear that someone in the family is going through a difficult time and we pray for them and we take a scripture and then we teach it and we speak it to one another, we are busy discipling. That's the purpose that God has called us to. Are you making disciples? It's a question that comes to mind. Then the third thing we see in this Great Commission is the place of our mission is everywhere Jesus sends us. He gave the first apostles a grand vision. He gave them the end vision. He said, go into all the earth, go to every nation, go as far as possible and make disciples. But within the big vision, he had individual visions for all of these men. That has then been shared, and as it's been shared, we have 2,000 years of church history of men and women who said, I want to know where it is that you've called me. Where's the specific place? In Acts 1, we read about the Holy Spirit being promised before Jesus ascends. And he says, you will go and you will make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And some of those disciples remained for the longest time in Jerusalem. They didn't get to go to the ends of the earth, but others were sent elsewhere and they had other opportunities. And here we are today, part of a global enterprise, as our friend John has said. Around the world today, people are told about Jesus because there's a specific place for us. It's why we pray for the nations, because some of you in this room might hear Jesus say, I want you to go minister in the Middle East. I want you to go minister in the United States. I want you to go minister in Europe. I want you to go minister in another town in South Africa. We've got to understand that there's a specific place for us. And for us as a community, what is our place in the Helderberg? Our website, if you go to it, shows that we've got three places at the moment. We've got our central congregation, which is here. We've got a congregation that's having church right now in Zola. And then we've got one in Makaza. That's the places that God has given us for now and up to now. That's where we are going together as a church. Yes, we go to the Eastern Cape from time to time. Yes, we go to Belfast and partner with Belfast and Ireland because that's a specific place that God has for us. But this morning, I want to bring it home to our Helderberg vision. I'm going to talk about Zola for a moment. Guys, there's amazing things happening there. Their building is too small. We need to trust God somehow for a miracle in this place so that they can have multiple services that they already have, but with more people. But the group of people you see up there are a group of young 20-somethings that has been reaching out to not only church on Sundays, but to our schools in Zola in the week. Lito, who some of you know, who is on the right-hand side there, he leads this team, and we see Setu there, which is Linda and Tabisa's daughter, and Sonia's there in Makabongwe, and a few others. I see Joshua there as well. So weekly they go to 4 different schools, and they're reaching 230 students at the moment in small groups in these schools every week. Not the big assemblies, the small groups have 230 kids. And what are they doing? They're making learners, making disciples. People are learning about Jesus, and they get to teach about Jesus. They've seen salvations. They've seen kids on a path of destruction turned to Christ. They've seen those kids who are hopeless in dire circumstances. And here's a testimony to chew on. One of the schools that they've been ministering in over a year, the principal came back to Linda and said, at the end of last year, our pass rate has grown from being below 50 to 88%. And we believe it's because the gospel is being preached in our school. Can we give God glory for that? They're going with His power. They understand what their purpose is. And they go to the place that God has called Lito. Lito believes he's called to the schools of Zola. That's all he does. It's profound. I want to take a moment to let you experience a bit of that. This is this week. So in 2 of these schools, they get to have worship services with the entire school. So disciples are being made. Some of those kids might not believe in Jesus yet, but they're being told about Jesus. They're making disciples. And this is what it sounds like when they worship in one of the schools. This is from Friday morning. I want to say, we get to do this. If you are in despair of our nation, just look at that. That's how our nation will change. We can wait until Jesus comes for the man to rise up to be our president or the woman. It's not going to change anything. That is how we will see our nation changed. And friends, you and I get to do this. We're not physically there on a Friday morning when they lead kids in worship, but because of your faithfulness and stewardship in this vision of Every Nation Helderberg, that is taking place down the road. And kids are walking in the streets, meeting Jesus, and their lives change forever. And that community is different. I was driving in Zola a couple of weeks ago with Pastor Linda, and I said, it is amazing when I drive into Zola, something feels different than some other parts of the informal settlements that I find myself sometimes. And he says, Pierre, there's a different spirit here because of the gospel. We've seen the atmosphere change because of all of this. Friends, let's not have a small vision of what we are a part of. We get to do this. Then, God spoke to us a few years back about our own location in town. And this is not just to have a building, and I worked it out this morning because I got a little message from the worship team saying, it's one of those tough mornings. We're setting up, it's not working, it's hard, how long, how when can we go into our own building? And I worked it out, and we've had over 950 Sundays where we needed to set up sound. That's quite a lot. But there's less than 0.5% left of that before we get to 100%, where we get to move into the building that God has given Every Nation Helderberg. You know about the Oderhaze building? That's a prophetic picture of what I thought it might look like this week, because the signs are going up anytime soon. But a lot of work has gone in, a lot of faith, a lot of battles. And this past few weeks, I realized, like, did we even think that this was going to be easy, you know? Obviously, there's resistance and there's a spiritual darkness coming against, and this has been a year and a half long journey to get to the place where this morning I can tell you when we're starting. And I'm so grateful for the faithfulness of people that said, well, Jesus said there's a place for us. And once we discovered it, we're not going to derail, even though the enemy has tried so many times to derail us from making this a place. But we signed the addendum this week. Here's the first testimony. There's a lift in the building and it works. And we estimate that the landlords have almost invested 2 million rand into making this building better. And I'm like, if we ran in there a year ago, we wouldn't have had that blessing. So even if the blessing is in the material, that we get to get an amazing upgraded building, let that be. But I believe the blessing is in far more than that. God's given us this place in downtown Somerset West because there's a people there that we have to reach. There's a place for us where we go away from Destination Church, and this has been a great destination. Thank you, Somerset College, but we go downtown where the people are, and church doesn't just happen for 2 hours on a Sunday. Yes, I'm going to keep you here for 2 hours this morning, but it happens all the time throughout the week. We have Bible school running in the evenings. We've got prayer meetings. We've got a prayer room. The youth gathers there. The leaders gather. We get together there. I'm so excited, friends. Not for a building. Yes, it'll be easier to not set up sound. You know why? Because in the 2.5-3 hours that we spend on logistics, we can spend in ministry. We can have more services and reach more people and do more of loving Jesus and loving one another. But it is with absolute grace and excitement that I get to share with you this morning. The 7th of April will be our first service in the new building. So God is awesome. Between now and then, we are going to give you so many opportunities to come see the place. We're going to have prayer meetings there. We're going to have come see the venue meetings there. We're going to have some moments where you guys are going to come with a lap and a bucket and help us wash windows. We're going to have some moments where you're going to come and do some painting. We need you guys to come and make this place ready for the 7th, and we'll communicate that. I want the 7th to not be about the building. So use the times that we give you between now and then to come and see. Because I don't want people walking, oh, it's such a nice building. The building is nothing. It's about meeting Jesus in that place. And when the 7th come, we will be ready for that. So that's another place that God has for us. And then we know that the other place God has for us for the immediate season is to take ground in Solaris Pass Village. Not only Makaza, not only Zola, but we are planting Every Nation Helderberg in Solaris Pass under the leadership of this precious, amazing, lovely, Jesus-devoted couple, Mario and Tasha. We are walking a close journey of figuring this out, but we believe that by the third term this year, there will be Sunday services in Solaris Pass as well. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that exciting? So friends, we've got the power of Jesus backing us up. Our purpose is simple. Make learners of Jesus. The places he's given us. Can we be excited that we get to do this? What do we do? The practices of our mission are the work and words of Jesus. Go into all the world and make disciples. Doing what? Baptizing them. That's the work of Jesus. It's let them die to self and be resurrected once again in the life of Jesus, become new creations. That's the work of Jesus, the finished work on the cross now being effectuated in people's lives. He now tells his disciples, now you go and everything that you've seen me do and now I am resurrected, you go and take other people through that journey of death into resurrection. That's the work of Jesus. And he says, and then teach them all things. The words of Jesus. Everything that I commanded you, teach them. And that's why in this church, we try and gather as much as we can around the word. We gather here on Sundays, but then we gather in follow groups. What do we do in follow groups? We open the Bible together and we become learners. Follow groups is a place where we connect throughout the week for deeper fellowship to reach into the world as witnesses of Jesus in our everyday lives. That's from our website. If you're not in a follow group, friends, that's part of what we do. Go to the website today. Say, join a follow group. If you want to start a follow group, you can do that too. You can say, start a follow group. But I want to say this morning, for the next 12 months at least, the entire church and all the follow groups is going on one journey together called We Believe. This book has just been released by our Every Nation Global family, and it is a study of the 12 foundational doctrines of our faith. It is a stunning book. When you open it up, there's a prayer. Then you go through some texts and scriptures. Then you go through some points. You also go into some church history to understand things. And then there's even a QR code that you can scan to listen to a hymn that sings about this particular thing of our faith that we believe in. There's questions to ask. And from next week on, we're going to have We Believe Sundays, the first Sunday of every month in this room. And when we're in the new room, we're going to preach through one of the major doctrines of our faith. And then you get to, for the remainder of the month, go into your homes, go sit with your family around the dinner table, go into your follow groups, start a new one. Maybe at work you want to say, hey, I'm going through the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. You want to join me, and you open up this book and you study that doctrine for another 3 weeks. Can you imagine how exciting it would be if all of us go on this discipleship journey together? I would have loved to say, everyone gets one. Look under your chairs. There's a book. Okay, no one is diving. That's great. I don't know. I think I saw Ethan there going for a book. If you want a book, we are selling these at a reduced price. We are subsidizing for the next 2 weeks. They'll be available outside at 80 Rand a book. It's a worthwhile investment for the next two Sundays. I'm not selling stuff. I'm not trying to sell. I need you to get a book. Here's how we're going to do it. There'll be a table. If you want to get books in a week, you can message the WhatsApp line. There's three ways that you can pay. So the team will be there. If there's a long queue, that's okay. I want you also, if you have the means to buy more books, to buy more, because I also want to say some of you might have not the means to buy a book. Please come tell us. I would love a book, but I can't afford it. Because I believe some of us can afford more and we can bless one another so that within the next couple of weeks, we all end up with at least one in our homes, one in our groups, and we go through this together. We believe Sundays are starting next week. And I believe this is us not coming up with a nice idea. It's us obeying Jesus. Teach them all things. Let them understand this faith that you've been called to. And then the most beautiful part of the Great Commission is the promise at the end. The promise of our mission is the personal presence of Jesus. I will be with you always. Jesus said, as you go with my power, as you go with a very particular purpose, as you go to all the places I have for you, as you go understanding that the practices is seeing people saved and baptized and then opening up the Bible and teaching them the Bible, as you go, I'm with you. I've had a conversation with someone once that said, I don't feel the presence of Jesus. And my question was simply, when last did you go? When last did you say, I get to do this? I get to take this mandate, this mission, this call, and I get to live it out in the world. We get to experience some of His presence this morning when we worship. But friends, there's a whole 6 days a week for you to live in. And that happens when we say, we're going. We get to live according to the purposes of God in our generation. So I want to pray for us this morning. My prayer is simple. That when we hear about all these things we're going to do as a church and places we are involved in, that we would go back to that video we saw on Zola. We give Him all the glory. That the purpose of following Jesus, as I said, is for more worship. And that you would worship well in this next season by following Him together. So Lord Jesus, I pray this morning for our church. We say thank you for every moment like today that you deeply reach into our lives and you do a deep work. But we say thank you, Lord, that this doesn't stop the moment we leave. But in fact, there's an invitation for it to go deeper and further. I pray, Lord, that Jesus, we will not forget your words. But that we would wake up tomorrow morning and say, we get to do this. We get to see the gospel spread in the Helderberg. That we get to see the impact of lives changed. Because that is what you've called each one of us to. I pray for anyone, Lord, here, like the Bible said, some of them doubted. If there's any doubts this morning, Lord, and you come and will you come lift our doubts away from us so that we too can follow in your footsteps. And may we continue as every nation Helderberg, whether we're here or there or everywhere else that you've called us, may we get to continue to follow you and may we never do it alone, but may we do it together as your people and the people of God say, Amen.